From the School of Communication at Loyola University Chicago, it's Q&A. Here's Jill Geisler.
Greetings, and I hope you are well. Today's question is, how important is it to have a code of ethics at work? Well, I teach ethics, so you know my bias. But there's so much more to think about when you talk about codes. While organizations benefit from putting their do's and don'ts in writing for all to see, some organizations benefit far more than others. Here's how to achieve that. Start with values. What do you stand for? What are some of the key values of your field? Medicine, education, technology, banking, construction. Those are the traditional values, right? Now add to that what matters most to the unique organization of ours. What else do we want to be known for? Note that I haven't started with what do we want to prevent and protect against in our organization. If you start negative, your mental model is basically this. We trust no one, so we've written down these rules to keep people honest and to protect the company from their mistakes and their misdeeds. And read it, sign it, prove that you've been warned so we can fire you if you screw up. But if you start with values, your mental model is different. It's this. We have strongly held beliefs, and they guide our choices every day, every step of the way. We connect our principles to our practices. So read our rules and guidelines and sign this so we all know we're on the same page. Refer to it when you're in doubt. But that should be rare because we talk about values routinely in our work. The first approach is what one Harvard business ethicist named Lynn S. Payne calls a compliance culture. Its watchwords would be follow the rules, don't get us in legal trouble, know the consequences. The second approach she calls an integrity culture. Live the values we share, choose to do the right thing, understand the harm done by poor choices. In both cultures, there's acknowledgement that we must follow the law, but the compliance culture is heavy on law, light on principles. In addition to making people feel inherently distrusted, a compliance culture can have an unintended consequence. It can encourage people to look for loopholes or gray areas when they're faced with temptation. The integrity culture acknowledges the importance of following laws and regulations, but lists those, teaches those as education and awareness, then goes on to explain that laws alone don't guide us because what's legal may not be ethical. Ethics, after all, is the process of making decisions when we are faced with competing values, profit versus safety, speed versus accuracy, autonomy versus collaboration, security versus privacy. So the best organizations, the ones people want to work for, have a code of ethics, but it's a code that lets people know what the organization stands for. And it's a living document that gets updated with the times. Heck, 20 years ago, who thought we'd be talking about social media guidelines, right? But that living document isn't the fuel that drives your engine. It's just the maintenance manual. Values are the juice, and they are discussed, referenced, and reinforced at every point of entry. What do I mean by point of entry? In hiring, in feedback, in annual reviews, in meetings, in awards, in publications, in decisions, in the stories we tell every day at work about the wise choices people have made, even the sacrifices they've made in service to our values. So, as someone who helps people write their codes of ethics and then live by them, I say choose the integrity option. Start with values, then tie them to the law and to your organizational protocols. And if you're writing a code for the first time for your team, get a group of your employees together and ask them to help you write a long list of sentences. But each of those sentences begins with these two words. We believe. Here's hoping you come up with a very long list. That's Q&A for today. I'm Jill Geisler.